It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to Naomi's Table. We are into our Bible study segment now, back with Connie Stempel. Hey, Connie.
Hey, hello.
Today we're talking about how the righteous become so and how he or she lives. Boy, this is going to be very interesting. Talk to us about this lesson today.
All right. Well, today we're going to be mostly in the New Testament, actually, because interestingly enough, this book of Habakkuk is quoted quite often in the New Testament. And the one phrase, the kind of the key verse of the entire book, the last half of chapter 2, verse 4, which we read yesterday, the verse that says, "But the righteous shall live by his faith," is actually used three times by New Testament writers. And each time it's used, they kind of highlight a different segment of it. And so today we're going to take a look at that. And truly, Habakkuk didn't fully understand God's plan of salvation in Jesus Christ, but he still knew that God was the one who was going to need to forgive him of his sins, and that God was worthy of trust, and that those who desired to know God and follow him would then be obedient to his word. But we're going to do a little look at those three places in the New Testament where God has revealed a further kind of understanding of what it means to be righteous and live by faith. And then I think it's going to kind of come full circle and we'll get a better understanding of what God was doing even with Habakkuk back in this in his day. So we are going to go to Romans, and Apostle Paul wrote Romans, and it's a great book of doctrine, and it really tells us a lot about how it is that we're justified or made right before God. But I'm going to start by reading Romans verses 16 to 17. And this is where Paul is really writing the purpose of why he wrote this book. And Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then he says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And so Paul is taking this verse from Habakkuk, and he's now going to explain it in a deeper way so we understand what it means to be righteous. And the first several chapters of Romans really have to do about how that righteousness comes to us and what the source of the righteousness is. So now I'm going to jump to Romans 3, chapter 3, and read what Paul writes there. And he starts out by telling us that actually each and every one of us is not righteous. We were born sinners, and from the first chance we have an opportunity to assert our own will and do things, we choose our own way, which is not God's way. So Paul writes, Romans 3, verse 11, I'm going to read through 26. "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Then Paul goes on and he says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." I'm just going to point out again, any of us who are honest would, even if we know the Ten Commandments, each and every one of us has completely broken every single one of them, at least in our heart and in our thoughts, even if we haven't done the actual deed. So we need to realize, yes, I'm a liar. Yes, I, in a sense, murder people because I wish them harm. Yes, I have committed adultery in my heart. So we need to acknowledge that. But Paul then writes, gives us the answer to that problem of being unrighteous. And Paul says, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it." And again, remember, Habakkuk was a prophet, and so he was bearing witness to what God would do in the future. Paul writes, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's true. We need to acknowledge that. "And all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And so we find out more that God, whom God put forward as a propitiation. That means a sacrifice of atonement, meaning Jesus Christ took our place and bore God's wrath against our sin so that we can receive God's favor. So going back to the verse, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith, this was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. To be justified in God's sight means to be declared not guilty. Each and every one of us is guilty, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, bore God's wrath against our sin, and satisfied God's wrath, then by trusting in Jesus and what he's done, starts by actually acknowledging our sin, repenting of it, agreeing with God that we're sinners, and then trusting in what Jesus did on the cross, then we can receive his righteousness. So even Habakkuk back there in the Old Testament was looking to God for that righteousness. And even here in Romans, it says this was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. Jesus Christ needed to die for Habakkuk's sins also. He just didn't know quite the full picture. He just knew he needed to trust God and the forgiveness that God would give him. Okay, so we've just looked at then how a unrighteous person becomes justified or declared righteous in God's sight. There's two other places in the New Testament where God also, or the New Testament writer also used this verse from Habakkuk, but the righteous shall live by his faith, to show us a little bit more about what that means. And so we're going to go to Galatians 3, and it's verse 11. And actually what that shows us is, again, the same idea that we are not righteous, but it is only through Christ that we're given that righteousness. I know there's some people who think, well, I can be good enough to earn my way, or I'm better than someone else. Or, I mean, I do hear people, if you ask someone why they might go to heaven, they'll say something like, well, I'm a good person. The thing we need to realize is our goodness doesn't earn us salvation. One, we're sinners and we can't take care of that, but also our righteous deeds or good deeds can't make up for our sin. Galatians 3:10 through 11 tells us, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Again, remember, each and every one of us is a sinner, and if you've broken one law, you've broken them all. And so we need to start at that place. But then Paul goes on and says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. And so here again, the emphasis on that faith is the means of which through which we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so it's a gift. That's what Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 say. And I'll read that to you. It's, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And so we're saved by grace through faith, and the whole thing is a gift. It's something we receive. We can't earn it or do anything more for that. So we're already starting to see that this righteousness of those who are declared not guilty before God is an incredible gift received through faith. And then there's one more place in the New Testament where a writer uses the same verse from Habakkuk and gives us a little more insight into what it means. And that would be in Hebrews 10:38. And here the emphasis is on is how those who are declared righteous, those who have been justified, those who have been born again, regenerated, and have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, then what we find here is how those people live, because they live differently than before they knew God. And so Hebrews 10:38 tells us, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then it goes on, 39, the writer of Hebrews is talking to the people hearing his letter, and he says, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve our souls. In the homework for today, there's some more verses that talk about how that life of faith gets worked out in obedience to what God says, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the obedience of Jesus Christ, we're enabled to actually do things that please God. We don't earn our salvation, but that life of faith gets worked out in a way, and we do words and deeds that actually please God.
Connie, that was wonderful. And you know, it seems to me that the closer we walk with God, the closer we get to him, the closer we draw near in our faith, the Holy Spirit shows us things and ways to live that we never would have even imagined before all of that happened.
Oh, definitely. You know, and the thing is, that's partly why we study God's word, because we learn more about what his word says. And then we pray and we ask, Lord, help me to do this. Your word says forgive. And I can't do it on my own, but you can. Teach me how to do that.
His strength is sufficient for us. And I just have to emphasize, ladies, there is nothing we can do to earn any of this. All of this is such a beautiful, precious gift, and we never want to take that for granted, do we?
Oh, no.
No, we don't. Connie Stample, thank you so much for today's lesson. Ladies, you will find all of the notes, the Bible study notes, if you're following along, on our website today, and you can go to the Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com. We hope you do that and download those, listen to the podcast of just this lesson that Connie's given us today, and we hope you enjoy them and you are blessed richly by being in His Word. We're going to take a break. We will be right back.